I'm Emily Foster.
And I'm Deanna Chang.
And we're too damn young to be this damn confused.
I thought MCM was a new party drug.
I thought taking an L was a sex position.
Isn't Salt Bay a town on Long Island?
We don't know,
but we do care.
So we're talking to youths to hip us up to what's happening.
We are doing this for us.
But we're also doing this for you.
Because let's face it,
you want to be less old too. Hi, lady.
Hi.
Oh. So I was at a party last week.
So far, so good.
And I met this gal who starts talking to me about her. You know, I was like, what do you do? She's like, oh, I have this app. It's targeted towards millennials, all about taking them through breakups. And I was like, tell me more, you know, just kind of fascinated. And she took me through it. And it sounds just like really interesting because, you know, we started talking. I was like, you know, you and I spend a lot of time talking about like
dating and
how it's okay now to break up over text message and like what kind of a world are we living in, you know?
So she's done an app that people are going to go to after they've broken up with someone.
Right. Her name's El Huerta. She's going to get her buns in here, but, you know, breakups.
Brutes. Look, they're not fun.
For nobody. For nobody ever.
Yeah, you know.
Hit me with your best.
My best happened in Los Angeles, mid-20s, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe late 20s. And somewhere around there. And it was this guy. He was a sound engineer.
Super. Ew. Just kidding, Sam.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think that.
Just so you know, that's the second time. The first one was when Trayvon was in here and you're like, it's nice to have a full-sized man in the room. It's been a good day for me.
Stop it. Okay, wait. I did that one.
She said that because I would never say that.
Oh, and Sam.
Yep. No, you're fine. I think I got what you
meant. R.I.P. myself. That is terrible. Oh, my God. That's hysterical.
Mine was just like a direct funny hit. Yours was an accidental like
annihilation.
Yeah.
Wow.
Full-sized man.
Full-sized man. Man, oh man, a Shevitz. Trying to bounce back.
I am feeling that too.
I meant guest, but. But it was not great. But I didn't even, nothing ran through my head about like Sam's feelings or even that he was in the room. It's not great.
You are a full size man. I need you to know that.
So I would say, so this guy was a sound engineer, super cute, very sensitive, like a sensitive person, you know? And I just liked him. And then I remember we went out. I went to this place for margaritas where they were liquid crack. And I had the couple times I went there, played myself, you know?
Got a little too wasted.
Played myself.
Sure.
So I was so drunk. He was walking me back home and broke up with me.
Oof.
And I wasn't.
While you're wasted?
Yeah.
Not great timing on his part, but okay.
It may have been inspired by it was like, who knows, you know?
Sure.
He just was, I do remember it. I think I was asking him about the relationship.
About marriage specifically.
Probably,
putting a baby inside you.
Yeah, like I was asking about us and the relationship.
No,
and
while you're drunk.
And he.
We've all been there.
Right. And he then was like, through that conversation, we got to like, you know what, I don't know if this is.
Sure.
Right. And I like lost my shit. So, you know, and then I proceeded to not be able to get over it. And, like, I was obsessed about thinking about him and obsessed with trying to contact him and obsessed with all of it. Like, it just didn't stop.
Oh,
and then eventually it did.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was rough.
I know that obsession, especially when you know you've done something wrong or you've done something and you can't take it back. And you know it's not you because you were wasty.
Right. It wasn't. Yeah. I mean, yes, that moment was really, really tough. But then in addition, yeah, that's probably a lot of it. But I couldn't really figure out why I like, what was about him that I liked so much that this was happening? Like, I didn't even, you know, have, we didn't know each other that well, and he wasn't the love of my, you know what I mean? There was nothing, it wasn't about that.
Well, at least you were in your 20s when you did that.
Right.
Because for me, I had, like, one of those magical New York evenings where, you know, I'm like, I would say we were a couple months into dating, maybe longer.
Okay.
And it was a guy that I had known. Like, we met each other my first job out of college. And, like, you know, never – we didn't really stay in touch, but we got reconnected. And it was kind of like, oh, my God, it's you. It's me. It's hilarious, huh? And then – so we started dating. We were – having this lovely night where I don't even, you know, it was like where you're just rolling from one fun thing to the next.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we're in a bar. And as soon as we're sitting in the bar, some guy walks in and is like, shots for everybody.
What?
Which you always see on TV, but it doesn't really happen.
That's amazing.
But it really happened. And so you're just like, everything's magic, you know? And like, I'm on the cuckoo train to like Wasty Town because we've been drinking for hours and all of a sudden there's free shots.
Oh, dear.
So then, yep, then the, like, let's talk about a relationship talk comes flying out of my mouth, you know?
Goddamn.
And he drops the, like, I'm not sure I want to have children. Which at a certain point with, like, in our age.
Right.
Like, that's just an I don't want to date you anymore phrase. If you know that the person you're dating wants kids, which he did know.
Yeah, and
as I'm evidence super pregnant as right I'm now. So I just looked at him and I was like, "You're just calling this off. Like that's what you're doing, you know? Because you just have those moments of clarity. Like, don't sit here and tell me you're not sure you want to have kids. You're telling me you don't want to have kids with me
because he knows you and he knows what you want. Right. He's like, you're pushing for information, and he's like,
and
it's
he's
over.
Throwing, yeah,
he's throwing the gauntlet down."
Right. So, yeah, then there was just like me storming out.
Oh, God.
You know, there was a storm out.
Yeah.
And then like a fight on the street.
Oh, good.
And then I think I probably stormed to the subway.
Right.
Then it's funny because now, you know, that happened and I had confided in my friend Annie about the whole breakup. And Annie is how I met my husband. So sometimes he's like, remember that time you got super drunk and broke up with that guy screaming in a bar? Because, like, that's how he heard the story.
Oh, my God. That's so good.
And I'm like, that's not what happened.
I love that he has that on you. That's does. Really, really. So that, okay. So that was, like, when I actually am remembering this because I was friends with you at this time.
Yeah.
And
oh,
I do
sure.
remember.
Yeah.
Not all of that, but the he doesn't want kids thing. So we have Ellie?
L.
L.
It's very classy. Wait.
Yeah.
L.
Huerta. Huerta with the app amend.
That's
She's
right.
coming in right now.
She's coming in.
Great.
OMFG! Hey, you made the mistake of not turning off your podcast in time, so now you have to hear this cross promotion for Hello from the Magic Tavern, a weekly podcast in the magical land of Foon, hosted by me, a human from Chicago.
And me, Usador, wizard of the 12th realm of Ephesius.
And me, Chunt. I'm a shapeshifter, but I'm mostly a badger. But I guess I've also been an alligator and a tiny horse with a top hat. If you want a fully improvised comedy fantasy epic, this is the show for you. You can start at the beginning and binge your way all the way up to episode 100, or honestly, just jump in on a new episode. It's not the Wire, you'll get it.
I join us, and we shall entertain thee hour after hour, o'er and o'er.
Also, speaking of The Wire, who's Stringer Bell again? Wait, which one whistles?
I don't want to talk about Earth stuff.
OMFG! Alright, well, we have Elle here with us, magically transported from Venice.
Hello. Venice flytrap.
She made it. It's amazing. So, you know, we talked about your app a little bit in the intro, but tell us how and why you started Let's Mend.
So I started Mend because of a breakup.
Your own.
My own really bad breakup.
What was their name?
It's like the number one question that I get is about that breakup. But you know, the funny thing is, so I started Mend after I went through a really bad breakup and I felt like I couldn't really find the support that I needed online. And that was one of the first things I did was I turned online for support.
And did you just look up, like, how to feel better after a breakup, or where were you looking?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my search history from that time was probably really interesting. yeah, I was looking for advice online of, like, how to move forward and move on. And, yeah, I was searching on my phone really late at night, and nothing that I found online really resonated with me. It was, like, really cheesy advice, like, it takes time. Sure.
I've read,
like,
that article.
Yeah, I think we've all read that article. Or like crazy forum conversations where people were just giving like the worst advice ever. And you know, you're not in the best state of mind, but even in that state of mind, I was like, this is not good advice. You know, like post pictures of yourself with a new person on Instagram and tag your ex.
That's bad advice.
Oh, yeah, that's out there.
That's bad advice.
Yeah.
Well, it's not great.
Yeah,
it's not to tag them.
Not the healthiest.
Who are you tagging? The ex.
The ex.
That's not great.
That's terrible advice.
Yeah, it's rotten advice.
Right,
rotten to the core.
Right. So it was that breakup that inspired Mend. But I feel like, you know, I started the website. The app is new, but the website has been going. And then before the website, it was the newsletter. And I've actually gone through. Several breakups since I started Mend. So people always ask about the first one, but
and was the first one, were you together for a while?
We were together, you know, it was one of those like off and on for a while relationships.
Yeah. I think those are almost harder though. Because you're like, it gives you hope that you're going to get back together again.
Yeah, definitely.
When it's really over, it's more devastating.
Yeah, I think the off and on relationships are very addictive.
Right.
Yeah. Like chemically, the stuff that's going on in your brain is kind of crazy. So it can drag out for a while. So yeah, it was one of those breakups. And this was like the final, this was like the finale, the ending.
Like the Carrie and Big of it all, where she's like running down the street.
It was.
Well, there are, and that's something we did talk about. It's like there's breakups, you know, where you break up with someone and you go through whatever you go through. And then there's breakups where you lose your fucking mind.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, it's like you go cuckoo. Like,
yeah.
I wouldn't even if I saw myself.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, and sometimes you see other people and they're in that space and you're you're like, I would never. No. I have been that, and I've played myself.
Right. Like, and if you met that Deanna, you would probably smack her in the face.
I'd be like, what do you do? Yeah. Are you kidding me? It's not even on the planet, you know?
Yeah.
I always think of the guy in, and this reference always gets lost with, like, my 21-year-old interns, but the guy in Swingers.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, he just can't stop talking about his girlfriend.
He's on the phone.
He's calling her. Like, he just can't. You truly are in this like altered state of reality.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times you end up mourning like this invisible or, you know, imagined future that you had together, even more than what you actually had with the person.
Right.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I think what you said is so right. Like a lot of women just have this wanting of it to become because you've already found out that like your first name sounds great with their last name or like, you know, you like women go there.
Yeah.
Do these crazy things where we're like, oh my God, but everything's perfect because we both love pasta so much. Right. You're like, what are you talking about? Like there's so much more than just pasta.
Right. Yeah.
But we're nuts. So mm-hmm. I think you build this cuckoo life in your mind with someone. And then when that goes away, you're like,
yeah, it just goes dark.
It gets dark. Unhinged. Yeah. And I mean, going through a breakup, I think we're just starting to understand this from a research perspective. But going through a breakup in your brain is really similar to going through drug withdrawal. It's very similar. So the reward system in your brain that gets lit up when you see a picture of your ex is the same system that lights up with like cocaine, for instance. So that's why it's so addictive. That's why people spend like hours scrolling through their Instagram feed and stalking on Facebook and all of that. Ooh,
think about the ways you can be crazy now we did not have access
to. So many.
So many ways to be a fucking lunatic. So do you have any great stories about people losing their minds?
Acting a fool.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I feel like for most people, you do kind of go insane after a breakup. Incessantly calling, texting, waiting outside their house, hoping to run into them. I was actually just texting with one of my interns who went through a breakup, and I asked her what the hardest part was from a like social media perspective, what the hardest part was. And she said she thought that she did everything right. So she unfollowed, defriended.
Proud and
then
of her.
Yeah. And yeah. then she was on the explore tab of Instagram.
What does that mean? Oh, yeah,
it's
yeah,
where
yeah.
you kind of see yeah. like friends of friends and then like some random people.
I have a lot of celebrities. Drag queens okay. and Jenners and Kardashians.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah. yeah. So she was looking at that and a picture of her ex-boyfriend and his new girlfriend popped up in her explore feed.
Brutal.
Brutal.
That's bad.
That's like everyday life now.
That's bad.
Right.
Yeah. yeah. So I think, I mean, it's kind of crazy like how different breakups are now from the last generation. Like I was talking with my mom a few weeks ago about the breakup she went through when she was 28. And she lived next door to the guy. And she still didn't see him for months because she knew when he was going to work. They just kind of mm-hmm. avoided each other very kindly. And she never saw him for 9 months.
Classy.
Yeah.
Dignified.
Yeah. So and now, classy. I mean, that's unheard of.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just
imagine
impossible.
Her, like, in a nice scarf with an attaché just going about her business at 28. Like, I don't need no man.
I can't even see you.
But that was, like, the luxury of that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you had a really bad breakup, and you were like, I can't find anything online to help me. And then what? So then I
started doing a lot of research. My background is in science, so I think that was my way of coping, was just trying to understand it. Like, why am
You're
I like, feeling
I need
this
statistics.
Way? Yeah. And I started digging into like the science of heartbreak and the science of attachment and relationships. And I sort of became, you know, known amongst my friends, like my girlfriends, as the friend to talk to when you were going through a breakup.
Oh, that's nice.
They were like, oh, Elle knows a lot about breakups. You should email her. Or let me introduce you to my friend Elle. You should have coffee with her. And I very quickly realized that was not very scalable or a sustainable way to live my life. So I decided to start a newsletter. So I was like, well, if some, you know, a handful of people are getting some use out of this information I'm finding. And I also started curating other content from like therapists and wellness experts. And so I started it, you know, like Goop style, a newsletter from my kitchen table.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it started.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then from, I'm just so curious. So from then?
And then from there, I mean, people were, originally it was just like word of mouth. Girlfriends were forwarding the newsletter to their friends.
Cool.
And then I started
Could you tell how many people, like, did people write you back? Did you put an email to contact you? Like, how did you know that it was actually moving? Like, people had
just
it.
Subscribers.
Oh, just so started, they would, oh,
yeah,
I
they
got
subscribe.
You. They would subscribe.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was also getting inundated with emails just asking, you know, this newsletter is great, but, like, how do I go back and see all the old ones? I missed them. Or, like, I remember reading this, but I can't remember which newsletter it was in. And so then I thought, well, I should really build a website. Yeah. So that's what I did. And I was learning to code at the time. So it kind of coincided. I was like, this is the perfect project. You know, they say the best way to learn how to code is just to actually code something. So that was my project. And it was also really, like, that was how I healed and mended after that breakup.
You threw yourself into a passion project.
I did.
That's right. That is a hot tip, you guys.
Otherwise known as a breakup monument. That's what we call them at MEND.
A breakup monument.
Do you guys have any breakup monuments? I feel like common ones that I hear are, like, there are a lot of people running marathons after breakups. I think, like, half of the people who are running marathons.
You know, after my last breakup, I did have this moment of, like, I just kept being like, I'm going to be a fucking phoenix that rises out of the ashes. I didn't achieve any of those goals, but I think it did light a fire under my butt.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah. I mean, that's so funny. I feel like for my biggest breakup, I just schlepped across the country. I was like, see LA. And I went back to New York and then came back. But yeah, it was like a 4-year hiatus.
Yeah.
It took a minute. I mean, that wasn't, but you know, it was amongst a couple things, but I absolutely had to get out of LA.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of people move after breakups.
Yeah.
A lot of people go back to school.
Mm.
Yeah. Reconnect with old friends that they ignored.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do think like the hardest part in the modern day would be kind of navigating the online
social needs.
Oh, definitely.
Aspect of it. And do you go through that on the app and like just the tips like you absolutely have to unfollow? Is that one of them? Because that's what we always say.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. And there's so much truth to that.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of research. And again, it's very new. And I think, you know, we'll continue to see the impacts of it. I don't think we really know the impact of social media on our ability to move on. But my hypothesis, just based on what I'm seeing, is that it makes it so hard to move forward and let go. And it's because of that brain reward system. Mm-hmm. Like every time you see a photo of your ex, you get this like rush of dopamine in your brain. And so you kind of become addicted to that. And you never really let go. Because that's the same thing that you're getting when you see your ex in real life.
Yeah.
And you can't really tell the difference.
Right.
Well, so
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, if you don't cut the cord, like if you're still looking at their Snapchat and you're still following them on Instagram, you never really cut off that source of feel good chemicals.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I think that there's probably a couple of reasons why people don't. One is that it feels vulnerable to say, like, I am so affected by you that I need you blocked and I need to unfollow you. It's like, you want to be the kind of person who's like, I can see whatever comes my way and it's no big deal. But, you know, so I think that's going on. There's a lot of pride.
Like, yeah.
But I will say, like, I wonder, because I know that that breakup that I just mentioned where I moved across the country, he blocked me on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
And it was a gift.
Yeah.
Because to date, I don't see anything.
Yeah.
Which, and we're fine now, but like, I don't see anything, like anything. I can't see if he's commented or anything. And I wonder if there's like, is that on Instagram too, where even if you block, then would that show up in that like?
I don't think so.
Okay.
That's a good like help center Instagram thing to Google. But I don't think that they would show there. I think, honestly, I think the best gift you can give someone when you break up is to block them.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's the best gift. But it takes you kind of getting over yourself.
Yeah.
And really like really remembering that self-care is the most important thing. Like it doesn't really matter what they think.
Right.
And if you're serious about moving on, you have to take that step.
Right.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
No, it was like I actually just told like this guy who's young and in that moment right now, I was like, honestly, being blocked was like the best thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because it
just removes it completely.
It, yeah, right. It was like, I'm out.
Yeah.
You know, I can't see anything, and that's great.
Well, and I remember for me, GChat was the hardest because I could go and I could block my ex. But then when you're having moments of just like vulnerability, you could unblock and see if they were online or not. And you're like, oh my God, they're still alive. Yeah. They're just right there. They're right fucking there.
Right. That another Sex and the City thing when someone she was dating popped up on like a chat.
Yeah.
She like screamed and shut the like, shut the computer and like ran out the door.
Yeah.
So true.
GChat is hard.
But I think really hard.
For some social media accounts, like if you are having a really hard time, and a lot of people do, but if you find that you can't stay away or you keep like unblocking and blocking and unblocking and blocking, I think it can
like
be helpful.
Yeah.
No, but it's so common. And I think in that case, what I would recommend is asking a friend to take over your account temporarily.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I've definitely done that. I know a lot of people who've done that, and that tends to work well.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? Then you have to get through your friend. You just have them, you know, you change the password and you have them know the password, and so you can't log in. Yeah. It's basically like a social media
cleanse
detox.
Should we take a little break and then come back? Yeah, I think we need to take a quickie.
Yeah.
And then maybe go into some of the nuts and bolts of what you get on your app.
Okay.
And how people
manage. Let's talk about the nuts and bolts.
Let's get into some N's and B's.
Okay. Be right back.
OMFG! Deanna and I want to tell you about a fascinating new podcast called Missing Richard Simmons.
Okay, so about 3 years ago, the fitness guru, Richard Simmons, he just disappeared.
Which is heartbreaking. He stopped teaching his exercise class at Slimmons, cut off his closest friends, and removed himself from the public eye.
He had spent decades as one of the most accessible celebrities in the world.
But in the last 3 years, no one has seen him. Nobody knows why he left, and some think it wasn't his choice to disappear.
So filmmaker Dan Taberski was a Simmons regular and a friend of Richard.
Missing Richard Simmons is Dan's personal search for Richard. Dan talks to Slimmons regulars, famous fans, former friends and family, to better understand who Richard is and why he left.
Missing Richard Simmons is not only the story of one of America's most iconic and misunderstood figures, it's also a quest to find him.
And the deeper Dan digs, the stranger the story gets.
I can't wait to hear how the story goes.
Subscribe now to Missing Richard Simmons in Stitcher or wherever you listen to your podcasts. OMFG!
If we download Mend, M-E-N-D.
Yes.
And we've had a terrible breakup and we need your
help.
Yeah. Right? So... I took a couple screen grabs. I downloaded the app and it said there's like some questions and you kind of go through some slides. So the first one was, what do you think is the main reason you broke up? And then there are some options. Commitment, incompatible lifestyle, infidelity, fell out of love, distance, I have no idea.
Yeah. Ooh, can I guess the most common is probably I have no idea.
It is.
Ooh,
yeah.
Nailed it. Good job, Emily.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then followed by, do you want to take another guess?
Followed by
infidelity?
No. Think millennials.
Incompatible lifestyle. No?
Distance.
Oh, no.
Commitment.
Commitment.
Okay. Well, there was the last one.
We really fail at millennials. Yeah.
No, we should have thought one more second before we were rattling. Wow. But we failed. What are you going to do? And then mood. So you have a sliding scale of moods, basically feeling really good to feeling really bad.
Yeah.
So you get to sense, like, how dark is it right now?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, are we in the depths?
Yeah.
Ooh, and
most people start in the depths.
Really? Yeah. Like, they select, like, the lowest, darkest place. That's so sad.
It is. But that's
– where
I mean,
at.
That's usually where we meet people. Yeah. We meet people at their lowest moment.
Looking – they've come to an app to try to figure this out.
Yeah.
So
– are they paying for this app?
So the first week is free.
Okay.
It's a free trial. And then you can continue using the app for free. But if you want to keep getting the audio training, which is really like the meat of the app, then you subscribe to a monthly plan, and it's $9.99 a month.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look, you're going to be hopefully – what's the time – you're hoping to be done when?
Well, that's the interesting
– when do we want to be out of
that's
this?
The
when do we want to
thing.
See the light? When do we want to slide over from miserable to like decent?
So obviously, in an ideal world, it's as soon as possible, right?
Yeah.
But everyone is different, and we haven't actually been around long enough to see, like, what are the trends. But what we're seeing, and this kind of, goes with what we were just talking about, it's taking people longer, I think, to get over someone than it used to.
Because of all the social media.
I think because of the social media, I think that it takes you longer to actually detox from your ex and get enough space where you can move forward.
Right.
So, like, we're seeing people who, have a breakup date. We're seeing a lot of people who have a breakup date, like, over a year.
Oof.
Yeah. So.
But I get it. I mean, they're so searchable.
Yeah.
And you can find that they are
living
their full lives without you at the click of any button.
Right.
Right.
It's so intense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's, like, an alternative world, or there used to be, where the person you broke up and the person kind of disappeared and it was like they were kind of dead to you. And in some ways that was really nice and really healthy. And even though you knew they were out there in the world, like it wasn't tangible. You couldn't actually see them. And now you can.
Right.
Ugh, I hate it.
Yeah.
I know.
I'm just having a flashback of getting the advice that when you break up with somebody, if you have to double the amount of time you were together, and that's how long. Have you heard that before?
Yeah.
Like if you've been together for 5 years, it's going to take 10 years to get over them.
Yeah. I think a lot of people hold on to that. I don't know if that's true. I really don't. And I think that's one of the questions that I'm really interested in answering. And we don't have enough data yet to see. But I'm really interested to see, like, what are the factors that impact whether or not you can move forward?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the last little screen grab I have here is, how much is your breakup interfering with your ability to live daily life?
Yeah.
So, you know, from 1 to 10.
Yeah.
Like, are you able to, like, go to work and focus?
Eat. Right. Can you get out of bed?
Oh, my God.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And so people usually rate pretty high on that scale when they first use the app. And one of the things that they find helpful is that you can actually graph that over time, so you can start to see yourself improve.
That's pretty really cool.
Yeah. It's like, you don't even think you realize that you are making tiny improvements usually when you're mending after a breakup. You don't really realize it unless you're tracking it in some way or able to visualize it. I think it's hard to really, you know, I don't know, see in your own life when you're so close to it.
No, it's true. It's nice to have something to, like, ask you to reflect on, like, where you're at. And I mean, like, the breakup diet's a real thing for a reason, you know? Yeah. So it's like, it'd be good to know, like, actually, oh no, I'm eating more. I'm looking less like a skeleton today.
Yeah, and then you started talking to me after that last one. Like, you're there talking and, like, and asking questions. And it's you have a great, great voice,
you
by
do.
The way. It's a very relaxing.
Thanks.
Melodic. Just like.
She's like, no, I know.
She's like, she is like, but she does. She has a great voice.
Did you want me to be on your podcast? Yeah. I'll be there.
So it's a it feels very comforting. Like, so Elle comes through and she's talking to you. And is that what I'm going to get if I subscribe? Like, you're going to tell me to do stuff and, like, talk to me nice.
Yeah. So for the first 28 days, you're on what we call the heartbreak cleanse. And you get an audio training every day. And it's, you know, kind of a set program. It's like, getting one foot in front of another just so you can, like, move forward, get up, put on your clothes, like, really basic stuff. It's like triage at that point.
Wow.
And then you graduate to moving on. And then after that, you get the choice of 3 audio trainings a day. Because people kind of, like, once you're past that really acute triage phase, people have varying levels of support that they need. Like, some people need to do all 3. Some people are okay doing 1. So we give them a little bit more choice.
Now, I know that this is targeted towards millennials.
Yeah.
But do you have people who are older, maybe going through, like, a terrible divorce who subscribe as well?
Definitely.
And if I wanted to gift this to someone
who
might be going through something,
yes,
I could do that? Okay, great.
So that is – you can't really do it in an elegant way, but we're building that in. That's in our product roadmap.
Great.
Because that's a really popular request.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, what do you do when a friend is going through a breakup?
You're
it's really hard to know.
My ears hurt right now.
Yeah.
Because this bitch is calling me every other minute. Like, can somebody deal with, can Elle get on this case and just get her off my back?
It's kind of like, I think when someone dies, like, it's a struggle for some people.
Right.
For most people, I think, to figure out what to do and how to be
what
there
the
for
right
someone.
Thing is to say.
Yeah, you don't really know what to say.
But it's also like that Sex and the City episode where her friends are like, you need therapy.
Yeah.
Stop talking about it to us.
Well, I mean, have people – and I mean, I'm saying – first of all, I think this is a fantastic idea and just so unique that you figured out how to make it work and make money from it and have interns and whatnot. I mean, that's incredible. Have you had pushback from people? Have people been like, that's, like, crazy. No one's going to do this. What are you talking about? No one needs an app for this.
Yeah, I think for people who are heartbroken, I usually don't get pushback. I think when you're heartbroken and you're not able to find support in your own life, you're kind of willing to try new things.
You'll do anything.
Yeah, you will in a way. I think you're, like, really willing to experiment.
Yeah.
And it is a radical concept to use an app to get through a breakup.
It is.
Yeah. But when you're in that place and you need support, I think you're more willing to do that. I think people who are not in that state of mind, you know, we were talking about it, like, you're kind of crazy when you're in that state of mind.
Right.
I think when people are not in that state of mind, they're probably more likely to push back.
Have you brought this to the Shark Tank?
I have not. I love how you call it the Shark Tank. I have not brought it to the Shark Tank. Luckily, I found like other means to
cash it.
Yeah.
We got cash?
Yeah.
How do we get this cash? Yeah,
it's a venture-backed company.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Pardon me.
Where do we get venture? Can we get venture, Emily?
Do you have to like present
blood,
in front
sweat,
of like,
and tears.
A bunch of like men in suits?
A lot of meetings, very few women.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So.
God bless you. Yeah. You did it, girl. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah. I think the key to, like, finding more supporters from that world was definitely launching the site and having, like, having proof, basically, that people needed the support and, you know, they were mend with something that resonated with them. So they could kind of see the app as an extension of that. I think it would have been a lot harder had I gone out and done those meetings pre-newsletter, pre-site.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You needed the proof.
Yeah, because it is, like, to your point, it's a very unique concept, like marrying love and technology. Well, yeah. I mean, that exists with dating apps, right. But, like, the heartbreak side of it.
Well, almost marrying therapy with technology. I mean, it's not really – I mean, it's
therapy,
like a version. It's like something.
It's coaching. Yeah, coaching. It's self-help.
Coaching.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we try to stay away. Like, we're not trying to be therapeutic.
Yeah, no. It's the wrong word. It wasn't therapy. But, yeah, coaching's perfect.
Coaching. Yeah.
Well, I think we did it. That was awesome. I mean, that's a – thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you guys for having me.
Where do
so
we go?
Helpful, yeah.
What do people – so we're going to
– you can find Mend in the App Store. You can download it. So we're iOS only right now. Soon to be Android, hopefully.
Do we need more venture? Are we looking for venture right
Android
now?
Android is like, that's the international group. So we're very focused on the, even though we have people in over 60 countries using the app.
But, wow.
Yeah. But we're very focused on
Android,
like our core audience, which is iOS right now.
Okay.
And
oh,
then
gotcha.
Letsmend.com.
Letsmend.com. And then we're Letsmend on social media.
Amazing. And you also have a podcast called Love is Like a Plant.
Love is Like a Plant. Yeah.
And people can check
that
out.
I feel like I'm cheating on my podcast partner, Sarah Maybe, with you guys.
You are. And we're going to call her and tell her about your infidelity.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
And she'll break up with me.
Yes.
Good thing you have resources.
Thank
this
you
is
guys.
So cool. Thank you so much for,
thank you for
sharing this
me.
With us. And I just love that you're making a business. I mean, that's super rad.
Oh, thank you guys.
Yeah. I don't even
She's a badass bee.
Thanks for having
yeah.
me.
Yeah. Awesome.
Thanks, Al.
OMFG! I think that she was great.
Oh, so lovely. Really, like, great advice. I feel like that app is really tits.
And I think she knows her business.
Yep.
I think that, you know, if you're going to put your heart into an app, you know what I mean, and
right.
have it hold you, I think she's the one to do it. I take her seriously, and I take her business seriously. And I think she's onto something, clearly.
She got some funding, not from being a jokester.
Right.
She's serious.
She's serious, guys. And I think it's, you know, I would recommend it to someone if they were in that spot.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And I do, I you know, for better or for worse, you do know my friend who is going through something.
Oh, my God.
And I'd really love to give it to her.
Do you think she needs it now?
I mean, I think anything would help, right?
Yeah.
When you're in the throes.
She definitely needed it the other day.
A nice soothing podcast to listen to, maybe.
No, and I think Elle's voice is so calming and like, it's just so lovely.
Yeah.
It almost doesn't seem like it's coming from a human being because it's
right.
so perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually, your friend, if you, it's a good idea.
It's a good idea.
It's a really good idea.
Yep.
So we did it.
We did it.
And I just wanted to give a little something to, hey, guys, I know you're out there and you're running around on the Twitter and the Instagram.
You're so active. Thank you.
Thank you for being there. You can also find us on Facebook at Earwolf OMFG.
That's right.
So we're there and we're trying to make that pop. So please come and join us. And shout out to Joe Schmo on the Mountain, who left us a review that said, "Great podcast, 5 stars, perfect balance of humor and insight."
Ugh.
Hey, thanks, perfect Joe Schmo balance. On the Mountain.
I mean, we weren't even trying. Thank you.
I'm Deanna Chang at Deanna Raphael.
And I'm Emily Foster at Frida Foster.
And we're OMFG at OMFG Pod.
See you next week. Bye. Earwolf.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.